brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God. Oh.
He's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Let's get nuts.
Rocking with you on a Wednesday on a special radio day, Goo. Happy National Radio Day.
Thank you, Evan, and back at you, Riposta, too. I saw your good article you wrote about Ramos. My man.
A lot of syllables.
What does radio mean to you, Early?
Radio to me?
What does radio mean to Evan Giddings?
I think it's an open forum. I think it's one of the closest things we have to the genuine conversation, because you can only judge someone by their words.
Wow, Evan.
You don't get to see.
Except Ramos. My man.
He's done. No, it's now we have YouTube, we have Twitch, we have all these different video mediums. But for the most part, Goo, it's all about what you say, and that represents who you are. That's the way things used to be.
And what if I told you, because we're different, I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little older than you, but you grew up in the era of social media, so you had like a, your playing field was with words and Facebook and Twitter and IG. Evan, that wasn't around when I was your age coming up, so all I had was to turn on the radio, and that was my, you know, that was my territory in regard to it was always going to be there. If you liked who was on the air or not, it was my friend when I was in need, driving, and then you come across the sports talk, which wasn't around early, but it's incredible, man. National Radio Day, and here we are. And I miss our guy, Steiny. He'll be back Monday, but I'm loving you. But, yeah, happy National Radio Day. I'm saying all that to say nothing.
Well, I think I'm one of the last generations to have a taste of both. Like, the majority of my life, there's been social media and videos, yeah. And, you know, YouTube and stuff like that. But social media came around in, you know, the mid to late 2000s, yeah. Became popularized. So I still remember what it was like to not have to worry about what I was putting on, I don't know, Facebook or X or
man,
that kind of stuff.
Man.
But I was just a kid. You know, you guys actually had to dive head into it as adults. And then with radio, for me, I kind of grew up just listening to games. I didn't listen to a ton of sports talk because my parents, they listened to rock, jazz, a bunch of different stations, soul, and but they always listened to games. Like my dad would
Beautiful.
Go on Sundays and just go in the back, and he'd make us garden after church, and he would always have a game on. So that's my connection to radio.
Dude, I love that. And that's why, Evan, I think you're on the cusp of being some team's play-by-play guy, but we'll give our Mount Rushmore play-by-play guys because we kind of talked about it in the green room. But I'm with you, and I'm on the air now, and we know I'm the byproduct of a contest. But, Evan, I had a delivery job, and it was just getting monotonous. I could tell you what songs we're going to play when I'm listening to KMEL or whatnot. So I got to be honest, I never picked up the phone to call the radio station for a job or think I had a career in it. It was just Pete Franklin's voice and me just wanting to do what I did in my living room with my fellas and my buddies all day long is just give my opinion and be heard.
But
amazing.
When did you have the urge to start calling in? Like, I've never called
right
into a radio
away
show.
When I heard the way that Pete Franklin conducted and gave his opinions, Evan, it was just, I need to combat that. And I'm on hold, even if it took an hour, you know, and here we are. But that's what attracted me. I never had the vision, shocker, of, oh, I can do this for a living. It was just, let me get my take off.
Yeah,
and he allowed me to do that.
But it took me a long time to get confidence on the mic. You had to just jump into it, not knowing if a guy, Pete
right.
Franklin, would
yeah.
he would flush you,
yeah.
if he would praise you,
bum.
If he would rip you. Dude, that's like that sounds kind of scary, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess it was fun at the same time, so maybe that superseded the fear, because it was like, you know, wasn't a job interview, you know, but I was just calling and letting it go like I would do with my buddies. And I don't know, I know you got your friends and your brother, but we used to like give our sports opinions like it was a rap battle.
Yeah.
So I just took those principles of...
You got 90 seconds
exactly
to just let it
go.
Rip.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what's cool about what we do now is we get to hear from so many different kinds of people.
Man.
And even though we don't get to see the faces of some people in the chat, some people we've met in person and they're awesome. I think radio is more communal than television, or certainly more play-by-play because it's just a couple people. But radio, especially sports talk, to me is just a place where folks can, to your point, just get their takes off.
No doubt. And tell me what you think of this, Evan. I know you and Pasta won't grade me, and you can because I'm asking. But have you come across people in the medium now of sports to where their persona when they type words is not what they are? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Everyone's like
it's,
that,
but
though.
But Evan, not me. I like you're not like that. Positive. Like, just be, give me 100% consistency. But I meet people, I'm like, I like the Twitter version of you. But they're not that
but I don't
in
like
person.
In real life. Right?
Just a little bland. I don't know.
I do think people should represent themselves as they are. But anytime you can get behind a keyboard, there's no consequences. You can say whatever
yeah,
you want.
I guess.
You don't have to say it to someone's face,
yeah.
Or you don't even have to call in and run the risk of getting flushed like you used
right.
to do sometimes.
And it's definitely easier to do it behind a keyboard as opposed to in person. And I'm just the whole, you know, persona, you know, the jokes, the wittiness. I just come across some people, I'm like, I wish you were more like your Twitter handle, you know? I don't tell them, damn it.
Yeah, but the Twitter handle yeah. can also get you in trouble.
No
doubt
about it.
Because you start
it.
To develop a voice that's not legitimately
that, man,
you.
Man.
And that's where I got to stay off of Twitter.
Look at you.
All right, Goo, where I want to start today is this. You know, kind of on the heels of we're talking about, you know, some of the olden times and things that kind of pass that, I guess, I don't know if they get glossed over a bit, but I'm always interested to learn what people think about history, specifically in Bay Area sports.
Mm.
And the Chargers are in town this week, or I should say they're playing the 49ers this weekend, last preseason game. And I think it's kind of a reunion of a sense of the 2021 draft class. Now, we found out Mac Jones is hurt, but we got
that
Kyle
stinks.
Shanahan,
right.
Mac Jones, and then on the other sideline, a guy who's going to be playing because he's played very well for the Chargers and may win their backup spot. Trey Lance. When
Man.
I say to you, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Trey Lance, I texted you these words last
okay.
night. I say Trey Lance. What do you say to that? What comes to mind?
From a 49er perspective?
Yeah.
Failure.
Mm.
A debacle. And I'll just stop at failure. Do you have a problem with that? Because there's legs to this now to where the Niners come up roses because of the cologne, the deodorant, and the luck that went into what they did drafting Brock Purdy. So, Evan, they never felt the brunt of that colossal decision, which could have gotten coaches and GMs fired. But do you have a problem from a 49er standpoint when I say, you say Trey Lance, I say failure?
There's nothing wrong with that. But the team didn't fail.
No, it did not.
Now, that pick was a failure. When I think of Trey Lance, I think of a few things. I think of missed opportunity. I think of inexperience. I think a little bit of arrogance on the side of the 49ers.
Mm.
And as we continue on, we can kind of go down the road as to why. But I don't want this to be about Trey Lance and the word failure in regards to him. To me,
right.
when we look back on it, it's about management, and it's about what the 49ers chose to do in 2021, trading up from, I believe, the 12th pick all the way up into
which was Micah
number
Parsons
three, which was Micah
pick.
Parsons.
Yeah.
There's
oh,
also
the
a
way.
Lot of other great players that were in that draft
all
class.
Right.
And they chose to trade three first-round picks to move up to number three to draft a 21-year-old from North Dakota State named Trey Lance. And from there, the franchise hasn't necessarily gone off course, but I think the last year or so, we're beginning to see some of the misses related to that draft impact the 49ers.
Yeah.
But again, on the other side, 888-957-9570. When I say Trey Lance and 49ers, what comes to mind? How do you remember, whether it's the, you want to call it an era, you want to call it a failure, as Guru's talking about.
And I got another word on the other side for you, if you allow me.
Absolutely. Right. We're also going to hear from Kyle Shanahan about this. This is what sort of sparked it. Kyle was asked about this yesterday, and had to go down memory lane. And so we're going to do the same. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson, and that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Trey Lance, you know, bad luck, impatience, injury. What sort of words come to mind when you think of the highest drafted quarterback by the 49ers in recent memory? And it didn't really turn into anything poor because Brock Purdy came in and saved the day.
Man.
Is that something you give the Niners a pass for? Is it something that you look on, you know, look back on, I should say, with, you know, regret in a sense? How do you look at it? That segment was brought to you by Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K.
With the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, a night that I think a lot of people don't relive often, not because it's bad, but Guru, so much happened on that one day.
Yeah.
Everyone thought it was going to be Mac Jones. People still think to this day that Kyle really wanted Mac.
Peter King, Schefter. Yeah.
I think it's been confirmed maybe by the fact he's now the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And they go with Trey Lance at number three. They trade up 9 spots and 3 first-round picks to select Trey Lance.
Who's the caller? The ghost of Trey Lance. That's one of the greatest drops.
Well, you don't have to worry about the ghost this weekend.
Yeah, but he was expensive, and I thought he was going to be the next Steve Young, Steve McNair. Didn't work out. But, Evan, when you brought this up and people want to know why we're talking about it, Kyle, you're about to play Kyle's thoughts on it. But the bottom line, I'm not saying his career is done or he won't pan out, but the bottom line is nobody cares. What did the Niners benefit from it? And to their credit, man, they got the best Geico insurance ever with Brock Purdy, and they gave him that new contract. So can you really come down on him? But you do think about the 2021, 2022, 2023, for 3 first-round picks and a third in 2022. Like, what if you had that to enhance the team and you didn't use that to move up? You know, maybe the team has more sound players for the future now, if you look at it that way, because now a lot of it is dependent on these youngsters that you just drafted.
Yeah, the word bust is maybe a bit simplistic because he didn't really get an opportunity. And a big reason of that, he was hurt. A big reason for that is he just hadn't played a whole lot of football throughout his life. Like, I was reading an article when the Niners traded him 2 years later to the Dallas Cowboys for a 4th-round pick.
Yeah.
He had like 742 pass attempts since middle school or something like that. I mean, it was...
So James Wiseman, like, an unknown, basically.
Kind of. And that's what the Niners traded up for. And we're talking about this today because Kyle Shanahan was asked at the podium yesterday, just when he looks back at the Trey Lance era, the decision, that state of the franchise for the San Francisco 49ers in 2021, you know, how does he feel about it? Because they're going to be playing him this weekend against the Chargers.
Hey, don't want to sit here and evaluate Trey too much. You know, I think I've done that before, but when I revisit that, we knew where our team was at and we knew where it was going to be the next couple of years. And we were committed to getting a rookie quarterback. We weren't sure that it would be forever, but we thought that was important to contractually with where our team was at in order to keep a good team together. So we knew we were going for a rookie, especially after a veteran left earlier that year. That was an option. So that was more of a plan in that way. Now we can go back to what we thought and everything, which I have no problem doing anytime, but I don't want to sit here and evaluate Trey again. I'm pulling for Trey. I love Trey. One of the best people I've been around, and I really hope it works out for him.
I think we all hope that Trey Lance eventually pans out whatever he becomes.
Yeah, no hate. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I think he's going to be the backup this year for the Chargers.
Yeah.
And Jim
Kyle
Harbaugh
just used him like a fullback.
Well, yeah. Jim Harbaugh is not running him 13 times.
Right. Up the middle.
Against the Chicago Bears.
Up the middle.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But he was such a raw prospect. Like, he was so inexperienced that when I hear that, and again, this show is not about bashing Trey Lance. This show is about, I think, trying to figure out, like, what was going on that led to that decision? And what do you think about when you think about Trey Lance and I would call it an experiment. Honestly, when I hear Kyle Shanahan talk about the thought process behind it, it has nothing to do with the player. It has only to do with the situation of the team. And that, to me, is almost the definition of an experiment because there was nothing, combined with the fact that it was around COVID, You didn't have a chance to really meet people and examine them in real person, in real time. It was just an experiment, and the Niners threw a Hail Mary, and it was an incomplete pass.
Yeah, and Evan, I gotta keep it real and put a rat on the table, brought to you by Echo early on this Wild Wednesday, National Radio Day. He signals to me, Trey Lance, to an apology that I had to give Kyle Shanahan, because I do remember when he was in D.C., the offensive coordinator, and his daddy was running the show in the same draft. Out of Baylor, you drafted RG3, but in that same draft, you got Kirk Cousins. And all that signaled to me was, man, how in love can you be wasting another pick on – you're supposed to have your franchise guy. He got Rookie of the Year, but I thought it was odd, and I also thought this, Evan, why I bring this up. Kyle Shanahan, as brilliant as he is, the boy wonder, I call him, the guy genius, I got to give him that. I was always turned off and questioned why Patrick Mahomes was bypassed, why he wasn't Halle Berry or Beyonce to Kyle Shanahan. Deshaun Watson, when it was good Deshaun Watson before Massage Gate. And, you know, there were days I had conversations with Bonte on the air. Evan, I wasn't 100% going race, but I did think about why is that type of dual threat quarterback not attractive to Kyle? And you could say that was unfair, and some did. And then, bam, he goes up and shows the world, guru, I do like dual threat quarterbacks. And that's what is limited or unknown as Trey was. That's what he represented to me. And that's why I double back. And I did it on these airways, Ev. I apologize to Kyle for even coming up with that mindset, thinking he does, that's not his type of quarterback. And it was. It didn't work out. But there was good times for me in regard to looking at Kyle and his brilliance of, okay, those type of quarterbacks are something that he covets. And they struck out because he never panned out here. But that type of quarterback that Trey Lance is supposed to be, with his wheels, you know, the arm, I call him the Steve Young, Steve McNair type. I kind of appreciated Kyle just basically showing, hey, I do the Halle Berry's and Beyonce's goo. They're attractive. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. But he did spend a whole hell of a lot to move mountains to go get them.
He did. They spent three first-round picks to move nine spots from number 12 to number 3. 888-957-9570. Kyle Shanahan was asked to look back at the Trey Lance era with him in town. You know, the Chargers on the horizon for the Niners this week in week 3. How do you look back on that era?
Mm.
This is from the 510, and I'm kind of with him on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorney's text line. Him or her, I should say. Had a ton of other needs outside of quarterback. Also for the 510. I think of COVID and the pandemic. That was a difficult draft for both the Warriors and the Niners. From the 651, right place, wrong time. That's also a good way to look back at it. From the 408, team failure, not Trey's fault. You know, I think failure is something that you can't not put at the doorstep of the Niners.
And I appreciate that, okay.
He played 8 games in 2 years.
No doubt.
And I know he got hurt.
Yeah.
But they traded 3 first-round picks and ended up dealing away from a 4.
And let's be honest, it wasn't pretty as he remained upright and healthy. You know, I don't feel like the Trey Lance bus was headed in the right direction. And real quick, Evan, you talked about this. Why I won't compare it to Wiseman is, unfortunately for the Warriors, they didn't have a Brock Purdy to fall back on. Like you said it, they didn't skip a beat, even with the debacle, if you want to call it that, of Trey Lance, because now they got their future franchise quarterback in Brock Purdy, and he's got a contract.
Well, and that's who really ushered him out of the door. The Niners might have given him more time, but they quickly found the backup,
yeah.
And their QB3 ended up being,
Mr.
in 2022,
Irrelevant.
Their number one signal caller.
That's crazy.
You know, but as far as guys that could have helped the Niners, you know, that to me is, I guess, the parallel that I see between Wiseman and Lance. The reason why the Wiseman pick is often thrown back in the face
it
of
hurts.
The Warriors.
Go ahead, E. It hurts just hearing you talk about it.
Well, it's been their biggest opportunity to get a game changer, yes, who could bring you into the next era.
Man.
The Niners don't have to worry about that as much because they still have a lot of talent. But there was opportunities to select young players that could be helping you right now, that might have you in a better position.
Sertan was in that draft, right? The cornerback.
I'll tell you who was in that draft.
Help me
out. I got
it
right here.
I know Mike was in there.
So I'm just looking at pass number 12.
All right, got you.
Because there were some good players in the top 11. Micah Parsons was the 12th pick.
Man.
After that, the 10 picks. Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle.
Wow.
Penei Sewell.
That's, whoa.
J.C. Horn. Patrick Surtain,
man,
Devontae Smith, Justin Fields, Rashawn Slater.
There's some talent in there, E. There's a bunch of it.
Six of those players are Pro Bowlers.
Okay, and there you go. I was just about to follow up with that. Man.
And I guess I'm thinking like, well, what if one of those players was an offensive lineman? Penei Sewell might be the next. Man. He might be the heir apparent to Trent Williams.
Oh, my gosh, Evan.
You also might have been able to get a lineman that could have blocked Chris Jones in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Twice.
You might have been able to find a wide receiver that would have you in a better position now. Or made it so that you didn't have to try and pay Brendan Ayuk. I don't know. I mean, you never know
Jamar
how it's going to work out.
Could you imagine me?
Oh, my
God. Yes, that's all.
You never know how it's going to work out. Yeah. But to me, that's why when I think of Trey Lance, I think of missed opportunities because they missed an opportunity to get more talent at other spots during a time in which they were still pretty damn competitive.
No doubt. And
even with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. And would you have a problem now, Evan, with the state of the Niners and the dependency on, because there's no way around it, and it's exciting, but also risky. If I said those chickens are now coming home to roost in regard to, you're right, had you hit on those draft picks that you kept, but life doesn't work that way. In regular life sports, you know, had they said, oh, we'll be okay, Mr. Irrelevant will be our next great franchise quarterback, then you think about, you know, Mike and Jamar Chase and Sewell and all the guys you just mentioned. It's like it never works that way, but you kind of scratch your head as to what if, how further along this team would be in this roster if you had some of those guys.
Well, and I also don't think they were on the same timeline. You know, I don't think that Kyle Shanahan and the Niners knew what they drafted when they took Trey Lance. Just like I don't think the Warriors knew what they had when they drafted James Wiseman.
Evan, that bothers me on both fronts, I guess.
They saw that the Warriors saw an athletic 7-foot center, and the Niners saw, to your point earlier, a dynamic dual threat quarterback. Yeah. But neither of those players at that stages of their careers were ready to be those things for those teams. Man. Trey Lance was not ready out of college to quarterback a team that the following season made the NFC Championship game. He just wasn't.
And I do wonder what made Kyle, and maybe it was bravado or, you know, hey, I'm Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi. I got the Jedi mind trick. I can get him up and ready. Evan, I guess I wonder what made, you know, John even believe that Kyle and the Niners brass could get him up and running with him not going through his football puberty per se.
Well, and that's the other thing too. It's like Kyle Shanahan has a specific set of requirements for his quarterbacks. And Trey Lance was not a good fit. Just like James Wiseman was not a good fit. They drafted experiments, both the Niners and the Warriors, that year. And COVID might have had something to do with it. But, you know, thinking about now Trey Lance, like, almost in 2025, I feel like we're just beginning to see what he could possibly be. And it might just be a backup quarterback. Man. That might be his ceiling.
But you're saying he needed time.
Time that the Niners, number one, weren't going to give him. And time that they didn't have because they were ready to compete. And I understand Kyle Shanahan, his thought process is that we got an expensive team. We got a really good team. So we need a guy who's on a rookie quarterback contract to help us stay competitive during that time period. But yes. Trey Lance was never going to be able to do that because he hadn't played a lot of football. He played one full season of college at an FCS level. And very quickly, you could see that his skill set is not what Kyle Shanahan was looking for.
Man, and that's why you already said it. You kind of started the show, Evan. You have no problem with me or anybody else for that matter just saying, you know, what the truth is. It didn't work out.
Well, but you also threw it back in my face, which is, we were talking about it before the show, the reason why it's not thrown back in the Niners' face, and I guess this is the opportunity to do it, is because Brock Purdy came along.
No doubt about it. It's just uncanny and incredible that was your Geico. That, I mean, how many teams have that luxury, if you even want to call it that, or luck, Evan, for that debacle? You got to just wear that. And the Niners were able to be like, okay, we can wear it, but oh boy, look at this. Look at number 13. Let's go and get to a Super Bowl and a NFC Championship on the fly that year he took over.
He saved their asses.
That man.
I mean, look.
Man, oh man.
The amount of, I don't know if it's head coaches or like decision makers who have a draft day gaffe like the one the Niners did in 2021.
Nice word, gaffe.
the amount of people that make those choices generally don't get to keep their jobs.
Man, he. And no, you're right.
They found a way. You know, I think like Trey Lance to me is not someone that I look back at you know, necessarily with regret. And it's not even just about Brock Purdy. I just think it was a completely mismanaged situation for the 49ers. And I understand what they were trying to do. And when Kyle Shanahan explained it to the media yesterday, it even somehow makes sense. But watching it play out in real time, it just left me with so many questions about why they believe this particular player was going to be the next quarterback, the next franchise quarterback for the Niners.
Yeah, no
doubt.
It was
a complete shot in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, a Hail Mary at this point. And I do wonder, like, I don't know Trey Lance, and I get the politics of everything. You played the sound of Kyle saying he's rooting for Trey, Evan. I believe Kyle's rooting for Trey. But if you were Trey Lance, would you look at Kyle and the Niners organization side-eyed? I know I would have some major resentment.
Trey Lance?
Yeah, if I look back, you guys gave up on me too early. You gave up, damn. And, you know, like, if I'm Trey, I could look at the Niners and be like, you know what? Y'all didn't put me in the best possible position to win, and you gave up on me.
No, I actually.
And to his credit, he's not saying that or playing that tune. But Evan, I would be feeling some type of way.
Well, I don't think Trey Lance holds resentment. I think at that point he was happy to be gone. Right? He knew he was never going to start, and wasn't going to be good enough to.
Well, he did start up until he got hurt.
Well, but then in 2023, when Brock came back as a starting quarterback, he lost the backup job to Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to be the third quarterback as the third overall pick. And that's a position that, to me, I would want to get out from underneath.
Yeah, and we talk about Kuminga. We got the Timms and Raleigh. And I get how you feel and what you believe about certain players. But I guess at that point, Evan, the fact that he was fighting for the backup job, that's where the resentment could have started, because I could make a case where they drafted him and what he cost the Niners. That should have gave him leeway to get healthy, come back, and almost just, hey, let me pick up right where I left off before you find out what's going on with Brock Purdy. But I believe they saw some red flags with him to where they're like, we missed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that he
might not be it.
Well, he couldn't do what the Niners needed him to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he got beat up by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Remember, and they had Jets and kicked Jimmy to the curb. Remember, we went to the training camp and Jimmy was behind the barn somewhere. Like, it was all bad. But he ended up being the dude, like, by default.
I mean, do you think if he doesn't get hurt against Chicago that he's not still around, I'm saying, but, like, do you think he keeps his job throughout that entire season?
Now, that's interesting, E. I'm not, it's so hard to say no or yes to that, but. I got to believe the song would have lasted a bit long. It would have played a bit longer. And that might have been week 14, week 15, before they really snatched the rug out from underneath them. I think that injury, you know, again, allowed Brock to come in. And Brock was great. But it also was like Brock was not going up against a ghost of greatness that Trey had left on the field. Because I think Trey had left a lot of things to be desired, and it was almost easier for Kyle and the Niners to kind of move forward with what they saw behind door number 13 with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brock Purdy was allowed to play pressureless football because he's Mr. Irrelevant, and they also were down to their last quarterback. They literally had nobody else to go to. Trey Lance had all the pressure in the world. But the way that Kyle Shanahan used him,
He turned a lot of people off.
It's clear, like, he didn't trust him.
Man,
he trusted him less than Jimmy Garoppolo because he wouldn't let him throw the ball. And from all accounts, I understand why. I mean, Trey Lance was a player that he could hit a home run and sometimes not hit singles.
I had no touch on the ball. No off speed.
Well, not at that stage in his career.
Man.
And it's been encouraging to watch him during this preseason with the Chargers. Look like a, I would say.
Well, he did this in Dallas, E, and I was rooting for him. And I'm not saying Dallas got it right, and maybe Jim is the guy, but I was this excited about Trey last year, and then Dallas, for whatever reason, decided to move on. I'm not saying that was the wrong move or the right move. So I am interested to see if there's really some gravity and traction, and hopefully nothing happens to Herbert to where we find out. But you think he's in a good spot now, huh?
Trey Lance?
Yeah. And well, is that how much of that
he's
is
making
because
$6 million
this
year?
Yeah, his head coach. That's a big deal too.
I think Jim Harbaugh is somebody that, well, he's got a track record of resurrect. I don't know if resurrection careers is the best way to put it, but certainly helping guys find
saw
themselves.
Saw what he did with Cap.
Saw what he did with Alex Smith.
No, good job.
Alex Smith was looking like he wasn't going to amount to much, and Jim Harbaugh helped turn around his career. Played 15 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Trey Lance is in a good spot for him right now. The Niners are obviously in the position they are. But I do think about what it cost them.
Yeah, I'll give you that because the cost is there, E. But if somebody could call us or text in, Risotto, if you even know, can you think of any other sport to where a team spent a top five pick in a draft, it was a bust, but somehow in that same year you got that Geico, and now the rest is history, you know? I mean, Brock Purdy was – I mean – Evan, I believe some of this contract that he got, and I stand on it, he earned just from what he did performing. But, dude, you could make a case he saved some jobs.
Who?
Brock Purdy. With his ability on the fly to pick up this offense, keep this thing going in the right direction, get this team to end multiple NFC championship games and a Super Bowl, you know, or if Kyle and John had to just sit in that residue and the team weren't winning or making the playoffs, what that would be like, and they didn't have to endure that because of Brock Purdy.
Well, but that's because he was good, you know, and he was good immediately.
Who knew?
But he also, look, he was in a fantastic position, and his skill set was a perfect fit for the 49ers. Trey Lance's skill set was not fit for what Kyle Shanahan wanted to do, and that's why, to me, it's so puzzling like to try and just wrap my mind around why they would have drafted him in the first place.
Do you believe they wanted Mac Jones or somebody else? And the reason I posed that to you is I'll never forget. I think it was a Thursday night, Tuesday night before the draft, and the Mac Jones news, it was Schefter, one of the reports, said it was almost a lock that Mac Jones was going to be the pick, and there was Niner fans on Twitter everywhere. It was like a revolt. And I believe the owner saw that. This just me, Evan, saw that and was like, oh, this is not good. And then maybe went to Kyle and kind of forced him to draft Lance?
I don't know if he forced him to. I don't know if Kyle knew who he wanted to pick.
But what does that mean, E?
That means that they traded up for the third best quarterback in the draft, not knowing who it was. And that, to me, is the mismanagement of the situation. The Niners did not know who they wanted to take. They knew they just wanted a quarterback. Like, you can't make decisions like that. That's how the Warriors ran into trouble with Wiseman, because they just wanted a center. Mm. They didn't draft the player. They drafted the position of need. And they had no clue of what they were getting into. And I know draft picks are lottery tickets in a sense, but it is so clear looking back on both decisions from both these franchises that they did not know what they were doing.
That's amazing, E. And I'll say this to that. And you said I threw it back in your face. We got to keep it real, right? If we're going to come down on them and you are correct, let's just go with what you said. They didn't know who they wanted. They couldn't decipher. It was just like the ultimate roll of the dice. Then how did they know to draft Mr. Irrelevant?
Like, well, he was the last pick.
I get it, but he could easily not been the last pick. There had to be, and I'm not saying this gets him off the hook, but the bottom line is the reality is he is their franchise quarterback. They had to see something in Brock. Even if you want to call it a throwaway pick, they saw something, and boy, did it manifest into what it is now. So just for the people out there like you and kind of like me, we almost got to give them credit too for, I know it's the last pick, Evan, but boy, did they come up roses.
Well, if they knew what you they know, had in Brock Purdy, they would have drafted him in the first round. They knew he was going to be – if you knew they knew he was going to be their franchise quarterback,
right.
They also didn't draft him six times. You know,
I mean, there really could be a 30 for 30 on this draft just from the Niners' standpoint, and all Justin Fields, all those quarterbacks, man.
Well, that's the difficult part is there wasn't
– right now there's not.
There wasn't a tangible domino effect from it because Brock Purdy came in and saved the day. He donned the cape.
Ultimate cologne.
I see you, Tom and Marin, but we got to hit a break here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. That segment was brought to you by Frontier Ford. Mach-E lease specials are on, and Tesla owners score even more at Frontier Ford. Lease A 2025 Mach-E Select for just $239 a month plus tax. $1,999 at signing. A dollar less than $2,000. And save even more with your Tesla. Offer ends September 2nd at Frontier Ford in Santa Clara.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.